And good day to you, Brevard County. Thank you for joining us here on the Refresh Radio Program. My name's Bob Arthurs, and I pastor Merit Assembly of God, 165 North Grove Street in Merit Island, Florida. We'd love to have you join us as we worship the Lord. Wednesday night is Bible study night. That'll be coming up tomorrow. We go through books in the Bible and take them a chapter at a time, and I produce a study guide and you know, just dive into whatever God has for us and try and put it in a format that people who want to keep those resources and compile them all together, it can really help bring some insight to the Word of God. It's, you know, I do a lot of studying, getting ready for that and things like that. So we'd love to have you come and be a part of that tomorrow. Right now, I want to say thank you to the folks at Treasure Your Landscape. Known Dan and his team for several years now. They are absolutely phenomenal at what they do. They're in the landscaping business. They've got decades of experience, and they have a full array of products. They not only have the products, but they have a team that works hard to make sure that you are completely and totally satisfied when they walk out having completed the project. They have artificial turf. They design putting greens. They have landscaping services, paver installations. How I came to meet them, they install and manage drains and downspouts. We've had that done at the church. They know how to design, plant, and maintain the landscaping that you have in your dreams. They know how to do landscape lighting, water features, repair damaged areas. Everything that they can do to transform your outdoor area, they are perfectly able to do, and it will make you have a space that you will want to spend time with, and enjoy the beautiful, landscaping that, makes your yard everything that it could be. You can reach Treasure Your Landscape at 321-749-1432. They also have Space Coast Nursery, which I visited here a few weeks ago, 3880 North Courtney Parkway, Merritt Island, Florida. It's north of the Barge Canal. Their phone number is 321-452-5565. They're open Monday through Friday, 8 to 5, Saturday, 8 to 1. And they have rows and rows of different plants and trees and shrubs and all sorts of things. They absolutely had it well organized and maintained. You can, as you're headed north towards Kennedy Space Center or Hall Road, you can see it on the east side of the road there, and it was nice to be able to stop in and see them and see what they have put in place up there. So Treasure Your Landscape, 321-749-1432. They love Jesus. They're friends of the Refresh Radio Program. And we are thankful that we have the privilege of knowing them now for several years. So today, first of all, happy birthday to someone very, very dear to me. And I just want to make sure that I put out there, they won't get to hear this because they're at work. But I did want to mention happy birthday to them. And today we're going to go to Ephesians chapter 1. So this is kind of a little bit of a reboot today. So Ephesians chapter 1, there are three passages in the book of Ephesians that we are going to look at from the perspective of how should we then pray. So we're going to be sharing some principles as we go through this passage. And, you know, if you want to go back and listen to them and write them down, it could be very, very, resourceful, helpful to you, as you know how to pray, because Paul says this is how he prayed. So Ephesians chapter 1, I'm going to read verse number 15 down through the end of chapter 1, which is verse number 23. Therefore, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers, that the God of our Lord Jesus Christ, the Father of glory, may give to you the spirit of wisdom and revelation in the knowledge of him, the eyes of your understanding being enlightened, that you may know what is the hope of his calling, what are the riches of the glory of his inheritance in the saints, and what is the exceeding greatness of his power toward us who believe, according to the working of his mighty power, which he worked in Christ when he raised him from the dead and seated him at his right hand in the heavenly places, far above all principality and power and might and dominion and every name that is named, not only in this age, but also in that which is to come. And he put all things under his feet and gave him to be head over the things of the church, which is his body, the fullness of him who fills all in all. So Paul is writing to the church at Ephesus, and he says, I also, after I heard of your faith in the Lord Jesus and your love for all the saints, do not cease to give thanks for you, making mention of you in my prayers. So Paul writes here and says, those of us who've walked with Christ for a while, those who have been involved in ministry, we've been transformed by his grace, we pray for new believers. Okay, we pray for churches in the local communities. I remember going to a revival service one time, and I've had people pray lots of prayers for me. There was a general council. We've got one of those coming up later this year. It's where ministers and young people from the Assemblies of God all over the country and sometimes from all over the world gather, and we handle church business, but we also have some meetings, and they had extended an altar call at one of these general councils, and I went up for prayer, and a person that I met later, I didn't know them at that point in time, they actually prayed for me. They were one of our executive presbyters, and come to find out we had gone to the same Bible college and in different seasons and had some common friends and things like that. He was a very godly man. He was a Native American and was very influential in building the Assemblies of God among Native American peoples. And he was praying for me, and one of my friends saw that the camera was on us as he was praying for me, and took a picture of it and sent it to me. And every once in a while it shows up on social media as a reminder. And, you know, I'm thankful that there are seasoned ministers who know how to pray for younger ministers. This was several years ago, probably 15 years ago or so. And, you know, but if not for that picture, I probably wouldn't have remembered him praying for me. I remember when people prayed for me at my ordination, but there is a prayer that I was at a revival service. This was back in the 1990s. I was on my way on vacation, but I had gone through, I was helping a friend with a staffing shortage in his shoe store while pastoring full time and doing ministry in the community. And by the time that season of helping him in the shoe store came to an end, I needed an encounter with God just to refresh me. And went to this altar, went to this revival, heard a great word, got prayed for by somebody, don't know who that was. and thought, you know, that what God had spoken to me, that I must have misheard or something like that. It got real close, you know, I thought either the evangelist or the pastor was going to pray for me, and the evangelist got right up to me, did a U-turn, and went the opposite direction. Someone else prayed for me, and it was like, well, that was okay. And I happened to know that one of my predecessors at Merit Assembly of God, the person who pastored Merit Assembly of God decades before me, that his widow was part of that church, and she was sitting there in that service, and I had gone and we had had a conversation, and I wanted to make sure, because I had a long road trip the next day, and I had my kids with me and things like that, and I wanted to make sure that I went over, honored her, thanked her for, you know, being so hospitable and meeting with me before service and everything. And just about that time, the pastor of the church, who I had my back to, I didn't know he was there. He turned me around and had a conversation with me, and he prayed for me, and he prayed this prayer. He said, "Pastor, tell me about your church." And I said, "Well, I pastor Merit Assembly of God in Merit Island, Florida." And this was the prayer that he prayed. "God, breathe on that church." And I can tell you that God breathed on this pastor. And I remember just the awesome fulfillment of God answering that prayer. And I want you to know that God is still able to breathe on pastors, and he's able to breathe on churches and breathe the breath of revival. And I tell you, when you've experienced the genuine, the counterfeit will never suffice. So I want to encourage those of us who are listening today, if you are a new believer, make sure that you build relationship with other seasoned saints who've been through some things. They've experienced some battles. They've been through some valleys, and they've been to the mountaintops, and they have found God to be faithful in every season for long periods of time. So find someone that you can walk through this spiritual journey with. I want to also encourage those of us who've been around for a while, don't stop praying for new believers. Okay? Whenever you get married, they often describe that period in your relationship right after you get married as the honeymoon period, not just the honeymoon, the vacation, the first vacation you take together as covenant man and covenant woman, as husband and wife, not just that trip, but, you know, this new relational dynamic where, you know, one person from one background is now united in body and spirit with this person from another background and another culture, and you're now walking like you've never walked before. Before, there was always, I'll see you tomorrow, I'll talk to you on the phone, whatever. There was always this place that you went and you got to process and think about the things of, but now you're living together, you're honoring God together, and originally, you know, when that happens, there's this really easy period where everything is wonderful and everything is marvelous, And they tend to refer to that as the honeymoon period. And it would be great if that lasted forever, but sooner or later, there gets to be challenges. Life tends to get in the way. Bills get in the way. Jobs get in the way. All of a sudden, you know, where you didn't have that safe retreat, now there's challenging seasons. And if you don't know how to handle that, it can be very, very challenging. Well, the same is true for new believers. Whenever you first give your heart to Jesus, it is absolutely wonderful. It is glorious. Everything is new. It's fresh. It's vibrant. It's alive. And you just soak things in like a sponge. And I want to remind the seasoned saints that are listening, pray for new believers, because Jesus in the parable of the word talks about that when that seed is sown, that there's going to be the attempt to steal the word. There's going to be a seed, you know, for some people, if they do not establish roots, then they can, that seed can be less than optimal in its fruitfulness. There can be distractions and all sorts of things that go on and challenges that rise up. And so we need people to pray for us. One of the things that I have the privilege of doing at Merit Assembly of God is praying for the saints. So we pray. We pray for new believers, and we pray for people who are going through new seasons, and everybody has new seasons. But one of the things I am also thankful for is that there are people in the church who've lived longer than I have, and every once in a while, God will move upon someone in the church, and they'll say, you know, Pastor is praying for us all the time. Let's pray for him. Let's pray for him. And I will tell you, I appreciate that. Before this radio program ever was conceived, there was a mandate that I received from God that said, I want you to have your district superintendent, the authority over my life, not just the authority, one of the authorities, but one of the highest level of authorities. He said, I want you to pray for him for your preaching. And so I thought I was going to take care of that in person. It didn't happen. I sent a text message to him, and we said, okay. And his first response was this: Bob, you're already a fine preacher. What do you need me to pray for your preaching for? I said, I have no idea. All I know is this is what God said. Have your district superintendent pray for your preaching. And he said, well, I'll be glad to pray for your preaching. And so a few weeks later, and we have had the district council, which I'll at today, and he was just getting ready to start the meeting. He looked out, he saw me, did not call the meeting to order, called, you know, waved for me to come up front, and he said, do you still want me to pray for your preaching? I said, yes, sir. And so before he took care of official business, he prayed for my preaching, and that was in May. And in October of that year, got a call from WMIE wanting to know if I'd be interested in doing a radio program. And all of a sudden, now that I'm doing, and I'm not just playing sermons that I have preached at the church, but I'm actually in the studio doing programming for each and every day, it didn't take me long to realize that on top of all of the other things that I was teaching and preaching, now I have 2.5 hours a week on top of that. It didn't take me long to realize I needed someone to pray for me. And still do. Still do. So don't stop praying for new believers. And I will tell you something for the new believers. Don't stop praying for those around you in the body of Christ, because look, I've never been older than I am right now until the next second, and then I'll be older then. But the season that I'm in is just as much a new season for me as what a new believer is experiencing. And so every week things change. Every week there are new people moving in, there are new people moving out, there are people who are having milestones in life, there are family dynamics that are taking place, and health things and financial things and all of these things that are going on. And I just want to remind you that we will never reach a stage in our life where we should not be praying, and there will also never be a stage in our life where we don't need someone praying for us. So when I first got my very first ministry position, I would, at lunch, I happened to have an apartment that was in the church. And so at lunchtime, I would go up from my office. I would go up into my apartment. I'd have lunch because I was poor. And I would turn on the Christian television station, and I would watch some marvelous teaching and preaching. I encountered some ministries that I was unfamiliar with before. And as I watched them, I was like, man, this person is phenomenal. Well, in the process of doing, of watching some of these teaching and preaching ministries, I ran across a preacher that made this statement. He said, someone called in and said, hey, I just want you to know that I'm praying for you. And the reason I remember this is because of the preacher's response. The preacher says, well, you don't need to be praying for me. Everything is going fine and wonderful, you know, in my life, you know. Thank you for praying for me, but I really don't need you praying for me. And that was really kind of a strange statement, I thought, because I had heard about the amount of financial resources that ministry needed to raise just to meet all of their obligations. And then a little bit later, I found out that there were a lot of issues going on in that minister's life, and they really did need somebody praying for them. I don't know what made them think that they don't. So let me say this. If God brings me to mind and you think of praying for me, please do. Over the last several years, there have been a number of transitions where people have been promoted to heaven that were very dear and very helpful in the ministry. Loved ones passed away and people moved out of the area, and the ministry load that I walk in, I need. You know, I tell people, in order for me to maintain my sweet personality, I got to have supplementation. And so I eat, you know, some sweet things from time to time. That really is a joke. I don't eat that much sweets. I do need, you know, help to stay as sweet as I am. But with under the ministry load, if we are going to minister the grace of God, we really do need to be ministering the grace of God out of the overflow of grace that God gives to us, and that we need God to strengthen us. We need God to give us revelation and insight and hearing what exactly needs to be said. That is true of new believers. It is true of people who are growing in their faith. I remember a testimony of a minister in their 90s, and a person, every time they came to visit that person in the nursing home, they found them still pressing forward in their walk with Jesus. The what Paul writes here in Ephesians chapter 1, verse number 15 and 16, is I'm making mention of you in my prayers. If you don't have anybody who's praying for you, I want you to write down this number. It's 321-454-4263. Or write down the email address. It's Merit Assembly, MERRITTASSEMBLY at hotmail.com. You can send us a message. You can log on to Facebook. You can find our Merit Assembly of God page on there. If you do not have anyone who's praying for you, send us a message, and we will be glad to hold you up in prayer, making mention of you. As a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ, you have not reached the pinnacle. You're just getting started. You are on the launching pad. And we would be glad to take you before the throne of grace and ask God to bless you in your coming in and your going out. I'm going to close today by praying just that. Father, Lord, I want to thank you for you did everything that was necessary for us to put our faith and trust for you in you. God, I pray that you would bless every listener right now with a successful and fruitful journey in faith. See you tomorrow right here on Refresh.